Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's passage from Malachi 3, 14 to 18 distinguishes sharply between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. The latter offend Yahweh by arguing that it is futile to serve God. They say, and I quote, "What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and by going about like mourners before Yahweh Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." End of quote. The words of the righteous are not similarly recorded. We hear only that they talked with each other, and that Yahweh listened and heard. Furthermore, Malachi writes that a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared Yahweh and honored his name. There is much debate about this scroll of remembrance, the Sefer Zicharon. There are plenty of places in the Bible where such books or scrolls are mentioned, such as, for example, the records of earthly monarchs in Esther 6, Isaiah 4, Daniel 7, or possibly the book that is opened at the Great Judgment, Revelation 20, verse 12. But because of its general description, most commentators shy away from making too much of this scroll in Malachi 3. A detail that may pinpoint more precisely the scroll is afforded by the phrase written in his presence concerning those who feared Yahweh and honored his name, which must mean, at least, that God knows whose are his and the record thereof is firmly set in the heavens. The phrase written in his presence indicates to some that the scroll has been written in the divine council. So what we have here is a privileged view of Yahweh's intent and even a discussion regarding the righteous that goes on among the persons of the Trinity. If this is the case, then a snatch of the heavenly conversation is recorded in this text. "They will be mine, says Yahweh Almighty, in the day when I make my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." Our text addresses one of the problems we all face, and that is the thought that life is not fair. The wicked give vent to this frustration. "It is futile to serve God," they say. "What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before Yahweh Almighty?" The answer of unfaith, of course, is nothing. There is no difference between the righteous and the wicked when looked at from a this-worldly point of view. So, continues unfaith, worship is a charade, a going about like mourners before Yahweh and nothing more. In fact, the psalmist says elsewhere, "The wicked seem to prosper and the righteous perish. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. They say, 'How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?'" This plaint from Psalm 73. But it's not true. Our text for today indicates that Yahweh listens in on those who fear him. Luther supposed this phrase indicates the church, which cannot perish. So, in Luther's view, God himself is writing the book of remembrance, which contains essentially what the saints in faith say to each other, how they comfort each other with the gospel, how they do not murmur and do not become upset over the apparent good fortune of the wicked. But there can be no comfort without the gospel. And this obscure oracle in Malachi is surprisingly rich in Christ and in the forgiveness of sins. One phrase that is bursting with gospel energy has been translated, "On the day when I make up my treasured possession, La'om asher ani aseh segula." Brown driver Briggs presents as a definition of segula the valued property, the peculiar treasure, always used of the people of Israel, he says. But if you'll permit me, I think an insight is afforded here in the Septuagint's ego poio eis peripoiesin, I shall make them into my preserve, or even the Vulgate's ego facio in peculium, I make them into my working capital. The latter is a mercantile expression which is so vague that the editor of Lewis and Short's Latin Dictionary has a separate entry not knowing what to make of it. But one can at least say that in all three versions, a tremendous outlay has been described. And Malachi, writing at the very end of the Old Testament, may well peer onto the atoning sacrifice which, on the cross, was made for all. And another pithy phrase delivers the goods, wakalamti ahem, which is translated, I shall spare them. Interestingly, the Vulgate's et parcam eos is precisely parallel, but the Septuagint has the rare hieratio autus, I shall choose them. Again, the imprecision is corrected somewhat by the power of the simile used in all three versions, namely, I shall spare them as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. In the New Testament, there would be another father who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, Romans 8:32. But in Malachi's oracle, the father spares the treasured possession, the segula, just as in compassion, a man spares his son who serves him. Is it too much to see God the Father standing in for the man, and Christ the Son standing in for the Son who serves him, that is, serves the Father? If so, we have another instance here of a Trinitarian relationship in the Old Testament. Just as sons frequently served fathers in the ancient Near East as slaves served masters, in fact, duluo appears in the Septuagint, so Christ the Son forever serves the Father in the Trinitarian relationship. And we serve the Lord in our status as sons and daughters of the King. It is in this sense, then, that the redeemed in faith will see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Amen.